session GNSO NCSG Enrich 5 p.m. 6:30 p.m. room 208 PC.
Hi, everyone. We are going to start our session on non-commercial stakeholder group inReach. My name is Farzan Ebadi. I am the chair of non-commercial stakeholder group. And please take your seat. For sure, Olivia, you do not belong here. So this is the idea. The idea of this session is that in the campaign, when I was campaigning to be elected as the NCSG chair, one of my campaign promises was that I'm going to do inReach. And so this session is to help me achieve that objective. And so on our agenda, do we have the agenda? So one of the issues that we have faced recently is that we don't have enough volunteers, although we have a great pool of civil society organizations and individuals that are our members. And I would like to identify these members who have various skills, like they're active in privacy protection or they're active in due process and freedom of speech, so that when it comes to important policy issues that we have to issue a statement or we have to have our opinion at ICANN so that they come and help us. It looks like that we have not been able to get these organizations and individuals constantly active with the process. So I thought, and this is not only my idea, the others have been saying it as well, that maybe we can come up with a network of experts in various, so for example, if some organizations are working on privacy issues, we have that network of experts, and then when we go, when there is a privacy need that we need to address at ICANN, we go to that network and we ask them to weigh in. And that is my idea of creating networks of subject matter experts, which is on agenda number 4. But I want to know if this is something practical, if you think this would engage our members more, and what we should do, and if not, then why? Because if not, then I'm not going to pursue that unless work for me. Any comments? Okay.
Thanks, Farzana, for bringing those issues. As you said, that's something that we talked about for many years. Oh, I think identifying the subject matter expert, I think it's possible. I think in the last years we are getting the platform to do so, that we can get understanding the interest of people and then having knowledge what they want, I mean, in which area they can help. So we can work on that first step. Maybe what we need to explore is that in how we want to get them involved, because what we face is that either to write a public comment or you want them to participate in working group. There are two different level of commitment. So, for example, if we take the interim the model for GDPR, I could reach some of our members, and they could deliver something quickly, because it was like one. I'd say it was quite simple, just to cover one thing. If we tried that to do, like asking them to join a working group, it would be more challenging in terms of commitment. So maybe we can start with this. We get them to maybe respond to public comment. It's more realistic, and for as first step. And in particular for organization, they can do that. For working groups, this is my assumption. It's not fact, but I think what it's in term of commitment, it's more individual who can do that. So if we can identify maybe some individual who want really to get involved in some working groups, will be helpful. Maybe for now, it won't be effective because many of these working groups are in the middle. It will be challenging for anyone to change. But we can start working for the next phases or the next working group in maybe next year or the year after. But we should start working for now. So it's good that we initiate or kick off this discussion now.
Okay, great. Thanks, Rafiq. Is there any other comment? Okay. So I what I'm going to do, that's going to be my action item. I'm going to look into how we can start the process of inReach and what sort of steps we should take to do that and have these networks of experts on various issues. So let's go to agenda item one, our value NCSG structure, values, and goals. This agenda item is there because the board of ICAM wants to ask us two questions during our board meeting this week. One is that, what are your key goals in 2018? The board is interested in this question to make sure that its own priorities are aligned with the community's priority. And then the second question, what are your most relevant long-term goals? The board is interested in this question because discussions about long-term goals and strategic planning will commence soon between the community, the board, and ICANN org. Responding to this question does not mean that the board necessarily takes them into consideration. But what we need to do, we need to specify what sort of goals we have in the short term. So I just want to start the conversation here with our members. Tell me, what are NCSG goals in the short term? Go ahead, Stephanie, go ahead.
Thanks. I don't want everybody to laugh when I describe this as a short-term goal. I'd like to see much better GDPR and global data protection compliance. That's probably a long-term goal. But the other long-term goal that I'd like to sort of kick out on the table, if anybody's interested, is I really would like to see ICANN as a multi-stakeholder organization reach a higher level of maturation in a COSO-style maturation model. We are at a very primitive level. We're all thrilled that we even just get to participate. But to actually have civil society working effectively and contributing to a really good model, we have a lot of work to do. So that, I see that as a long-term goal, and I wonder if there's any interest in that. Thanks.
Thanks, Farzana. I mean, first comment, I mean, those questions from the board are quite funny. It's like really vague, what are your goals and so on. But because one thing we need to have in mind, that several of like the activities we are doing, it's because the board or the organization started them. So we are only doing kind of catching here. First, I think in term, because we had the, maybe sometimes the discussions how we do the planning for our activities, and it's usually should be around the policy. We know we have some policy, so we need to work around that. So we need maybe to have kind of from the beginning what we want to achieve. It's not just to be in reactive mode, but how we can more proactive. I have no answer for this, to be honest, but it's something we need to find a better way to do so. It's not just to respond like we have public comments here or like now GDPR, we are kind of struggling to cover that. So it's still around policy. But yes, there are other, let's say, other matters we get to cover. It's those like think the area you wanted to discuss is because if you want to do in long term strategy to do better policy, we need more resources, human resources, and people to get involved. Maybe to respond to Stephanie. So your question is, what do you mean by level of maturation here is, because, okay, you saw Maslow, but we are maybe still trying to hear, to respond to the basic needs, eating, sleeping, and so on. But what are you thinking exactly? Because it's still vague for me. It's, you are talking about the organization itself, like the staff, or?
I'm actually talking, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I think I'm really talking, and I haven't taken the time to develop what exact metrics you would require to get to a higher level as a multi-stakeholder organization. But there's certainly academic work on that particular theme. I think from our perspective, I would dare say that including civil society in the ICANN multi-stakeholder model is tokenism at the moment. I mean, not that we don't actually exert an influence, I'm not saying that, but the degree to which we are considered a respected player is not where it could be and not where it should be, in my view. So part of having a mature organization is compliance with law, which we don't always have, as we know. I won't get going on GDPR. Fairness, global outreach. I mean, ICANN has made some great strides in terms of global outreach, but, you know, these are the kind of metrics that I think would bring it up a level. Financial, let's not talk about the budget again. That was a painful exercise. These are the metrics we would be looking for, and I think it behooves us, if we want to be taken seriously, to do some work among people who've actually worked on this kind of thing. I mean, I'm an ex-government wonk. We do this kind of stuff, you know. Economists do this kind of stuff. Accountants do this kind of stuff. If we have those people around the table and they would want to spend the time doing the work, then we can situate our contribution and our work within a framework that makes sense. Because I feel sometimes that we spend an awful lot of time complaining about ICANN, its procedures, its processes, its unfairness, its yada, 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 without kind of, this would give us a more professional approach to how we criticize certain things, including finance. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. So just to get us more focused, I think our longer-term goal is to prevent ICANN to become a content regulator. We could talk about that. We could also say that we want ICANN to remain a transnational, non-state, non-intergovernmental organization. We could also say that we have certain values. We care for freedom of speech and other values that we want to infuse in the policy processes. So these could be, I don't know if they can qualify as goals, but they could be some issues that we mentioned. And before I go to Tatiana, every time I look at Tatiana, it reminds me of the NS abuse.
I look very abusive to Town Tropina, for the record.
So also for we want to keep the DNS abuse definition technical and limited. So that could be one. Go ahead, Tatiana.
Well, I think it's within the prevention of content regulation. But, you know, I feel sometimes that I'm not pretty much comfortable with the word goal, you know. I'm sorry for making this example from my professional experience. It's like you can't say that your goal is cybersecurity, because cybersecurity is a state, a process, and you always have to think about this. And I feel the same, for example, with ICANN not becoming a content regulator, because there are so many ways to circumvent this. So we always have to, you know, to keep up and just to cut here, cut there. It's like a bloody hydra, you know. You cut one head and then 12 heads spring up. And calling it a goal, I like more, you know, the issues we are working on. It provides the continuity in a way. So goal is to work on this issue, to constantly keep up, to cut the ways to circumvent the processes. And then you have set of issues which you're working on. Maybe like this, I don't know. Because there is no end goal in keeping ICANN not being a content regulator. It's a process.
Thanks, Farzana. I think what you mentioned maybe is not goals, because it's always can come up, but it's maybe kind of guiding principle, something like that, that we know this is what we don't accept this, and that give us some guidance. So
values,
yeah, because we know this, we have this discussion many times. It's kind of, yeah, it's like TV drama. It's like season number 10. So yeah, maybe yeah, we see like this, and I mean, and at goals, I guess maybe. When they say it long term, they are talking about 5 years or 3 years, something like that. Because I think we will have really hard time to do this. If let's take like 5 years ago, we were thinking that we are going to handle the IANA transition. Just come, and we had to shift all our attention and resources to cover it, because the whole organization, the whole structure is still not in that way to really plan for 3 or 5 years. We have like high level plan, but we never stick to them at the end. So
Farzana Bedi speaking. Thank you, Rafiq and Tatiana. So you're making my job harder. If these are not, so if what I mentioned are not goals as such, and I agree, then I don't really understand, and I don't know what board really wants from us. Are we going to talk about the values of NCSG and what we are going to do to exert those values in the policy processes and at ICANN? We could do that, but go ahead, Tatiana.
I believe that the goal would be to promote and sustain the set of values and principles we adhere to. And then we list them, and that's it. And our goal to work on this and to support this and to ensure that these values are constantly taken into account and protected. Will this work?
Yeah, I think our board is not very strict on what goals are. Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's just wordsmithing in a way, you know, because it's... Well, okay, I will stop here. It doesn't matter if these are goals or values or processes. We just, as you said, you know, we know what we are working on. You express these, call them goals, call them values, call them issues, but these are what we are, you know, doing.
Okay. Yeah, and we could also say, so we can split it to two things. One is policy, and one is the general ICANN governance and the decisions that they make, and you know, when they ask us to comment on the meeting locations and petty stuff like that as well. Okay. Thank you. I think I have an answer for board. Aidan, we have time to talk about the letter if you want.
Hi, everyone. Aidan Verdelin for the record. Not too much to say, but more sort of an FYI that really Stephanie has been drafting a letter analyzing the most recent compliance model that I can put forward on March 8th. And so that has been circulating amongst the policy committee, and we will, I imagine we will take it to our main mailing list today, and we would really appreciate your input. I don't know if Stephanie wants to comment perhaps on the content of the letter itself, or do we want to even get it up on the screen and go through it together? I'm happy to hear ideas.
I certainly don't mind going through it, although I think if people have not read the latest model, this will be painful and long, and you're probably already sick of hearing about GDPR. How many here have read the latest model, all 60 pages of it?
The model is not 60 pages.
The analysis is.
The analysis includes the comments that the model has not really changed. What are the major changes from the last time?
The problem is, Farzi, that what we are looking at here is a flawed analysis and the reasoning that has been behind the previous models. One of the problems of the previous models is they just kind of said, okay, as I described it in my comments, here's the Goldilocks. You can do this one, or this one, door number one, two, or three. But they did not go through the legal analysis. Now we have the legal analysis, how they have interpreted everybody's comments, whether they have accorded it the same legal weight as even their advice from their lawyers. So I think it's extremely important that we respond to that. Because at the end of the day, that is exactly the analysis that the data protection authorities are going to do, you know. But I may be alone in that. Happy to discuss. The model, the letter is about 4 pages at the moment. But everybody seems to be glued to their devices, so I think there's very limited interest in it, you know.
My name is Caleb, for the record, and I made a comment earlier on the proposal for the second model, and part of the things I said was that I have an issue with that model because of the jurisdiction in which it covers. For me, I was giving the example that, take for example, in Africa, we have other, the EU GDPR is strictly for EU citizens. In Africa, we have a number of data protection and privacy laws coming up, and some are still in the oven, still thinking of being finally baked. For example, in my country right now, it's still a bill which has passed the lower house. It's currently at the upper house and probably waiting for the final presidential assent. Now, with that in place, the privacy laws that are coming from the EU GDPR might, at the end of the day, not affect some of the African countries. So we need to also make these things clear, how these things affect registries, as well as the citizens that are concerned within the African space. So that's basically my own concern for the second model, which I raised an issue on during the mailing list. Yeah.
Well, I hope you'll be pleased. One of the comments that is in the letter at the moment, and it's going to be circulated, obviously, is that we are disappointed that ICANN is only responding to the GDPR. There are 120 data protection laws out there. Yes, the GDPR is the only one with 4% fines so far, although other laws are having to be revised to ensure greater compliance because the standards are being lifted, you know, by the actions of the European Economic Area. Now, it's not actually true that only European citizens are protected under the GDPR. Anybody whose data is in the GDPR, the European Economic Area, whether it's being processed there, whether the individuals are there, whether the companies have an operation selling into the economic area, all of that data is covered. And, you know, that was ever thus. The Directive 9546 also had a pretty significant extraterritorial reach in the determinations of adequacy that that the Article 29 Committee was empowered to adjudicate. And, you know, for instance, in Canada, which is where I come from, our national law was not considered adequate, our national public sector law, because we did not provide data protection rights for non-residents. And so this is something that is backstopped by the European Charter of Rights. So the comment that we put in the letter is we're disappointed that ICANN has made compliance with other data protection law optional, because quite frankly we've had 20 years of compliance with data protection law being optional and nobody's ever opted for it. So here's our opportunity to do some global harmonization and protect the rights of everybody, whether their governments have got around to passing a law or not. ICANN policy should be fair, and it should, therefore, if they're protecting rights in one area, they should protect them in another area. And that would also be consistent with our adherence to the human rights principle. I mean, if you were to apply, for instance, I think everybody's heard about the fact that we managed to get human rights into the bylaws. If we can't do a human rights impact assessment on this process, actually, that's a good thing to put in the letter now that I'm thinking of it. Then we're losing, you know. Thanks.
Okay, well, so just to not to lose you, this is we have to make a very quick decision and submit this comment as soon as possible because it is very time sensitive. This is why I brought it up during this meeting, and I think we should just wrap it up soon. But our letter really says that thick whois is unnecessary. It also says that raises the issue of natural and legal persons, and also a couple of other points. And I think we are not really saying something really different than what we have been saying throughout the process, and we should get the letter out as soon as possible. Go ahead, Rafiq.
Okay, yes, talk about the process. When we talk as soon as possible, what you are thinking exactly, 24 hours, something like that?
Yes.
Okay, because maybe just to, we need to understand the context. There is the cross-community session in Monday about GDPR. So we should, like, before that. And we know that also the organization is discussing with DBA and so on. So because we need to set the scene to understand why we are trying to send as soon as possible. Okay, so I think one thing, the letter should be shared at least in the list so everyone have access to that version and we can make decision quickly. I mean, because I don't think we are raising new issues. We are rehearsing what we said before and we want to make input, but we still have to keep just sending letters is not enough. We have to keep pushing and using all the venue we have to reiterate what we are saying. So,
yes, and we are Farzan speaking, and we have a position. We want to advocate for this position, and we want to do it during this meeting and here. And this is one of the things that we have not. we should understand the time sensitivity and that ICANN has to make a decision. If we do not advocate for it now in this meeting, we have missed the chance. Go ahead, Milton.
Yeah, this is going to sound a little bit clueless, but you probably, like most members, I haven't been able to day by day follow this, right? So when you talk about the letter, I don't know for sure what you mean. I know that Stephanie emailed a letter to the list that was signed by you, Farzana. So there's a new letter. That's not it. Okay, so that's something you might make clear to people. The other thing is, I saw a letter that Teo circulated and was happy to see that I think it's coming from the Article 29 group, and that letter is actually referencing, to my amazement, the fact that the GNSO came up with a definition of the purpose of who is in 2006, so apparently somebody has gotten to those people and explained to them what's been going on. That's a very good thing we might build on. And then finally, you're saying on Monday there is a public session. So I think you're on the right track here. You're trying to coordinate, identify four or five people who can go to the microphone and have a coherent message, synchronize your letter with those processes, whether it's before or after. It depends on what would have the most impact. So yeah, let's do some very specific things here.
Okay, Stephanie Perrin again. Can I just enumerate what we've coughed up in the way of GDPR compliance in the last month or so? So we had a couple of responses to the first model at three doors. There was an NCSG response that basically said we like door number three. So did EFF. They put in their own. I gave a much longer response saying I'd rather have option two or the eco model. I commend the eco model to anybody, but I have heard the criticism that if you don't understand data protection talk, you might miss some of the key things in it. But it's the best analysis I've seen yet in the time I've been here. Then we had the response to the CEO, Jorun Marby, was encouraging everybody to contact the Article 29 Working Group, reach out, tell them your views. We sent a response to that letter. I put your point about the original definition in that letter, just to make sure that we took that shot across the bows. I believe it made its way into the Berlin group report as well. That was only just finally released on Friday. I did provide an advance copy to Jorun a couple of weeks ago because they were making decisions about compliance. And this is actually the first time a group of data protection commissioners have gone on at length with concrete, easy-to-understand complaints about ICANN's treatment. I mean, the Berlin group gave us a document back in 2000. This was basically an update. So all of that's done, and now we are trying kind of frantically to respond to the new model with the analysis. And it's my position that having done all these other things, we should make sure that we got something new. I agree that we need some very clear talking points and strategy that everybody understands. Here's our position. But I'd like at least to touch on some of the foibles in that new analysis. And I think we're nearly there. But maybe throw it up on the screen if people want to go through the painful process.
Okay, thanks, Stephanie. I wanted also to respond to Milton because Stephanie, can you please send to the mailing list the latest version so everyone will have access? And as we said, we can make decisions within 24 hours, can do this kind of fast track. I'm also thinking that tomorrow we have the policy committee session. Knowing the agenda of the council, we don't have any vote or something really substantive, so we can just reschedule the whole thing about GDPR. So the cross-community session, we have Stephanie speaking, but maybe taking into account what Milton suggested, we also have to use the mic or the audience and to push more and to coordinate our action. So first thing, let's get the latest version shared and approved within 24 hours. We can do that. Having tomorrow's session for maybe more kind of strategy for the whole week. Maybe there are other, because I think there are other meetings, maybe not for the whole community, but maybe you can use that. And the cross-community session on Monday. I'm not sure if I'm missing other, but and maybe today we can elaborate more what we should do for the coming week.
Thank you very much, Rafiq. I totally support your approach, but I want to ask a question. I hate being clueless because I am a GNSO counselor and the member of the policy committee, but maybe it's my jet lag. Is it the same letter we, in general, approved on the policy? It's another one, okay. So then I would support the 24-hour call for consensus and discussing it tomorrow, yes.
Stephanie Perrin again, just to point out that I just cleared all the edits. Thank you, Aidan, for commenting. And I can send it out to the list now if you're ready. I think we should put that thing that I've already forgotten. I'm looking at Aidan. I hope he remembers that came up a second ago.
The human rights impact.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to get that in there because then that ties it to human rights. And we need to start practicing what we preach on that on that bylaw. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. We can wrap this up. And this actually takes us to the issue that I really wanted to raise during this session, how to strategize and how to advocate and how to enable members to advocate and in support of our work, and so not to be late into the game and be ready beforehand. So for that, I think we have to come up with a plan. We are getting much better this year. The public comments that we have submitted have kind of tripled from last year, right? I think.
And so, you want the statistics?
Rafiq actually has the numbers. So I think we are on the right track, but we need to be a little bit more forceful and more organized on how we reach out to members, how we issue letters and get them support our values and advocate for us. Najira, you wanted to say something?
Yes, maybe I didn't miss, especially for the goals and values, what Tatiana mentioned. I don't know if you have something of the values. Usually I could see that you kind of respond to the policies given, but are there, you can initiate the discussion of policy? I think it's important to be into your values and into the goals you have. This is one of the point of strategic future.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So as well as working on the issues that already are being discussed at ICANN, we also raise new issues and try to advocate for them. And I will note that down. I think that's a good point to raise. Okay, so now that we talked about GDPR and engagement and advocacy, I want to go to Adam Peak, who can talk about academic engagement. So one of the network of expertise that we have that is strong at NCSG is our academics. There are many members in academia, and they write about a domain name system sometimes, but to get them active in policy and advocacy has been a challenge. So Adam, do you want to tell us your plans about academic engagement?
Yeah, it's difficult to talk. Hi, Adam. Are we on the record and transcriptions? Anyway, Adam Peak for the record, ICANN staff. So one of the things that we're getting from global stakeholder engagement as the requests that come in for information and support and so on, increasingly are coming from academic sector, for want of a better word. Academia has always been included as part of civil society. It historically has been within NCUC and historically and also within the civil society strategy. So we don't want to change anything there. It's not about creating new stakeholder groups or anything like that. It's about really trying to satisfy demand that we're seeing. So we get a lot of requests from universities to give one-off lectures, come and give a presentation on any related subject. Very often it's about ICANN and the multi-stakeholder model, because ICANN is the most developed and active multi-stakeholder model, and people are interested in that generally. So what can we learn from ICANN to apply generally to sort of learning about information technologies and so on? But also they'll ask about, it could be anything, how does the internet work? Of course they ask about how the DNS works, but there's a lot of requests like that. We're also seeing a very recent trend is for people to, instead of asking for ad hoc courses, ad hoc lectures, it's more for structured courses. So instead of the single lecture, it would be, can you give us four or five that actually develops into a program? Or it can be from a professor or somebody running a school of some kind within a university to try and help them with curriculum development. So that's the sort of request we're hearing. And as that develops, certainly I would want to reach out to the NCSG because you have a lot of academics and could probably help us and guide us in that sort of direction. I'm not quite sure exactly, Fazneh, what more you might want me to say on that. So I'll stop for the moment and say something else, which is, so we have this civil society engagement and I'm around to try and support what you're doing. And I'd like to hear more about what you need, not necessarily now, but if you want to give the sort of support that you would like from global stakeholder engagement, that would be useful for us to hear. I mentioned earlier that there are things, these regional spaces, and I've heard that there's quite a few of these meetings going on this week. People from NCSG are participating, but not in a formal sort of way. So perhaps the people you have elected and selected from the regions might like to be formally involved in those, because the sorts of things that happen because of these regional space engagements are staff and the regions working together on webinars. Of course, you do webinars for yourselves and you have your own expertise, but there might be topics where you want staff to come in and talk about topics that are more technically specific. You might want someone to come in and talk about the KSK rollover or universal acceptance, or many of the topics that you'd hear about at an ICANN meeting and might like some follow-up on. And these regional engagement spaces are very useful for that. The other thing that happens in the regions, of course, is they develop regional engagement strategies. And while many people from NCSG are participating in those, perhaps we could formalize it so that you're bringing in a more structured sort of engagement into those strategies, and that would be very helpful. I know many people here are already on those advisory councils and committees, but to structure it from the NCSG level so that it's a more coordinated approach, it may be something to think about and helpful. And at the same time, also, it would mean a better way of telling you about the events that ICANN staff have been invited to attend. I know you would like to see some of the budget requests have been asking about GSE. Where do we go? What do we do? What's the outcomes of these things? And you'd like to see some metrics about what we do and how we do it. And that kind of relationship may be able to structure that a little bit better, so that the information flow is less ad hoc and is more consistent, and you can actually see what values or not are occurring. And if the values aren't occurring, then how do we make them occur? That's the idea. GSE is meant to be serving the community in many ways, so that is something I'd be very interested in. But let me know something more on academic stuff. I can...
Yes, thank you, Adam. Farzan Abedi speaking. So that is the reason I asked you to say a couple of words on this is that we are stuck with you at Global Stakeholder Engagement. You go off and do things, and we would like more collaboration and come and ask us what we need and go and do more focused, targeted outreach. And don't do outreach just for the propaganda sake of it. Do outreach to actually see if people are interested to attend and get involved, and that is one of the problems or challenges that we face. For example, there's a really good scholar that wrote a paper on content regulation and ICANN, something that we are really interested in, and it is within. We even have our. It's one of our values to prevent ICANN to be a content regulator, but we have not been able to reach out to them and get them involved with the process. So I think if we could use global stakeholder engagement activities to get academics more involved with our processes by also being more organized, then that would be better for us and you, I think.
Adam Peak again. Yes, I think we'd be. You know, I'd personally be very welcoming of that. I'd like that very much. To have some, if you want to have formal calls or a mailing list or whatever you want it to be, I'm happy to do that. And I do think it's important that we also try and, you know, reach out and formalize this engagement with the regional VPs, because although there's only five regions, there are about eight or nine of these in the sub-regions. So that can be helpful. At the moment, again, it's a lot of individual members participating, but if we can structure it a bit better, then we can make sure that the information flows are monitored, and that if you ask for something, then it becomes my task to make sure that it happens, and so on and so forth. So that's what the idea would be, and I'd be happy to do that. And it could extend to anything that you need. There are all kinds of resources that you might be able to use that we're not utilizing as much as we should do.
Thank you. Yeah, Nadira, go ahead.
Yeah, Nadira. Coming from the academic field for a long time, and being an advisor for graduation projects and theses, I have usually students suffer to find right topics, and it would be also the opposite way of like as NCSG to propose some topics, just list this is areas of research, and this is kind of attract people to adopt these concepts into their PhD proposal writing.
Yes, so the aim is that they help us with our advocacy. We are not helping them with their research. So, okay. Well, thank you. This was good information. What NCSG is going to do with the policy committee and the executive committee is to come up with an in-reach plan, considering your comments today, and try to create these network of experts. And also with the help of Adam, we are going to be more engaged with the academics and advocate for our positions. And now we have our goals, and we will have the board meeting this week, which we have five questions that we're going to talk about, and I think that would be interesting if you could attend. And also we have the constituency day NCSG open meeting on Tuesday at 5 to 6:30. I can adjourn the meeting. It seems like we are done. All right. Yep. Thank you.
I just sent the letter.
Ah, hallelujah.
Rafiq, did you want that to ever...